for me when to speak. I don't want to speak if it's not for me to speak. So maybe that is something that he could possibly do, is just pray and ask God, you know, when do I need to open my mouth? Because I'm learning as I'm growing, and I'm trying to grow more and more, that everything, you know, is everything ain't for me to say anything about.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
Hey, Pastor. And yes. Proverbs 6:2, it talks about you are ensnared with your mouth. So you can basically not speaking or knowing when to speak traps you. And so that's how the devil holds people back. Because right. Whenever we come into forums like this, we feel like we have to be the one that sound more intellectual than the other person. Yeah. If you think in your, you have to speak intellectual, you're dealing with logic and not faith.
Right.
When faith moves, your mouth will open, but it's the spirit which speak it.
Come on. Amen.
Amen. Anybody else? Nobody else? Go to 1 John 4. Can you be listening to things? Do you know what you hear in faith, though? Do you know when do you know that you can, I always say you can locate where a person at by letting them talk. Now, I'm not saying this is in the Bible. I'm just saying it is extremely hard for me to trust a person that don't talk.
Oh, I can.
Because I don't know where their heart is at. Mm-hmm. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth talks.
Mouth. Yeah.
All right.
So when I can't locate you, I always got to, you know, some people can move their eyes like that. It's kind of hard for me. So I just have to watch them with both of them. See, because I don't know where they at. I don't know what they're thinking. And do you know that just because a person is walking with you don't mean that they with you?
Come on. No. Come on.
Jesus had over 500 people walking with him. And then he started not talking. He started speaking. He started saying, he says, knock this temple over, and in 3 days, it's going to rise again. If you're going to be my followers, you got to eat my body and drink my blood. And it says, and they forsook him all. And the disciples considered it. Peter them considered leaving Jesus, because this just seemed like it was off the wall for him to say something like this. And then Jesus said, Peter, are y'all going to leave me too? He said, where are we going to go? We thought about it, but you got the words of life. We're going to go hanging around. But everybody else, minus them 12, left him. See, there's a difference between talking and speaking. Because when you in this book, and it's in you, and because the book, most of the time, don't take away, it'll strip away. Mm. It won't take away from your life. It adds to it, but it'll strip away the moss and the dross. Mm. It won't take away, right? It'll strip away. So sometimes before God add to you, he'll strip stuff off of you so he can add to you. But if that person is in that book, you're going to be all right.
Amen.
You should never let anybody walk away from you with the answer in your mouth and you could have spoken. See, a lot of times people think that they're not really ministering to a person if they're not preaching. It's more people that y'all have contact with on a weekly basis outside of this coronavirus where you could be speaking to them.
Amen. Amen.
The anointing. No hum, no drum, no organ, and shackles are falling. God is stripping stuff off of them.
Amen.
Then he add them to the kingdom. 1 John 4:1-5. It says, how do you know that everything... This one, you gotta stay in a place with God, because your spirit can lie to you. And you have to know when it's your spirit talking, when it's another spirit talking, and when it's the Holy Spirit talking.
Right.
As many voices. Many voices out there. So how do you know? He says in 1 John 4, he says, beloved, believe not every spirit. What are you supposed to do? Test them.
Pray about it.
Test them.
Test
the spirit. He says, try the spirits, whether they be of God. Try the spirit, whether they be of God. So everything that you hear ain't always of God.
Right, right.
You have to know the difference. Everything we hear is not of God. So should we trust everything that we hear?
No.
No. No. No, you shouldn't trust everything you hear. He says, because many false prophets are going out into the world. What does that mean? If you got false prophets in the world, you got false prophecies false in the world.
Woo!
Yeah. How many times have people told you something and then nothing like they said come to pass the way they said it?
Amen.
Nothing. It's well, you can't. It spooked you really bad, though. I mean, sometimes people get people negative. I've had people come to me, and they tell me what the person said. And I'm like, that ain't God. And then they go and live it out, and then it didn't even turn out the way they said. And I'd be like, I'm a little different. I say, I told you so. How many times have people told you stuff, and it wasn't right?
Right.
Totally wrong. Why? Because you have to know what you're listening to. Whether it's true or not. If it's false prophets, then it's false prophecies. So like I told y'all before, I said, it ain't like the coronavirus should have shocked us. God been telling us for 3 years something was going to happen, and it was going to happen East Coast, West Coast, go through the Midwest. Over 3 years. For almost 4 or 5 years, God been telling you, stock market is gonna tank. They're going to take your money. It's okay. You know, you're going to get it back. Just don't take it all out. Told us that was going to happen. Yeah. Told that was going to be buying opportunities. That ain't really came to pass just yet. But buying opportunities for people to build you a house to the exact same dimensions that you want, and then you go and pay $150,000 less for it.
Yeah. Come on. Amen.
I'll give you houses that you didn't build, vineyards that you didn't plant. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Vineyards is with businesses that'll be positioned for you. They done left all the equipment in there.
Come on.
Woo! They left the building, they left all the equipment, they left all the cleaning supplies. All you did was go to the bank and take over. Say, it's my season to take over.
It's my season to take over. Come on.
All of us.
Come on, Pastor. You preaching.
Yes.
So, let's look at this. He says, false prophets, they go into the world. So, what should we be doing? You test it. How do you test it? You compare, listen to me carefully.
Word.
You compare what's being taught, what you are hearing, prophecies that you are hearing, visions that you are seeing. You test them by the clear teachings in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what I believe I got while I was sleeping, my responsibility is to balance it up against the Word of God.
Amen. Amen.
No matter who told me what, no matter how, I remember, you know, I said this before. Bishop had said, one of his former pastors, they said, somebody was telling him, he used to prophesy into your life all the time. He used to speak into your life all the time because he was down there. And I remember Bishop said, that was then, this is now. This ain't the same season.
Come on.
Now, what would make him say that? He is trying the Spirit by the Spirit.
Right.
To see whether the things that he is saying to him is of God. Should we be doing this?
Amen.
I just showed you how to do it. It ain't like you need a 5-hour class. All you got to do is be able to have a concordance in the back of your Bible, and you should be able to pick it up and go see.
All right.
Proverbs 29:25. And this is why you got to stay away from fear. Say, I'm going to stay away from fear.
I'm staying away from fear.
You got to stay away from fear, because Proverbs 29:25 says the fear of a man lays a snare or a trap. It lays a trap for himself. When the devil gets you in fear, he'll get you to lay traps for yourself. In essence, he done moved you out the arena of the spirit where God is ministering to you, to where you start to try to figure out your way forward with your mind. And the very thing, have you ever done something that you thought was good for you and then you got there and realized that you laid a trap for your own self? Did nobody do this to me? I did this to my own self.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's funny because my sister said that she scratched the car with the trash can. I mean, the lid, taking it off. You know, and either way, my point being is that, you know, sometimes we can get to a point in our life where we did it to ourselves. Nobody did that. But the enemy will get us to lay a snare for ourselves. You can still claim it on your insurance. Don't tell them you scratched it, though. But you claim it on, hallelujah. You can still claim it. So the fear, the man lays a snare, but whosoever trusts in the Lord, he's safe. Did this happen to Job? Mm-hmm. Job laid a snare for his own self. And he said this in Job 3:25, the thing I feared the most overtook me. If you start thinking Corona can overtake you, it'll overtake you. You start thinking you're going to lose your job, lose your house, lose your car, lose your, you know, I don't know why my husband or my wife don't leave, love me. We're going to wind up in divorce. You drawing that. It's going to happen if you keep on drawing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are snared by your own fear.
Right.
Job said that it overtook me. It happened to me. The thing that I was afraid of, what did he say? It came to me. I rebuke every devil that's coming your way right now in the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
I rebuke it right now.
Thank you, Lord.
And fear pulled all this in. Abraham almost lost his wife because of this. You remember that in Genesis 12, where he was had with Sarah, and they was going into the city. They said, "You tell them that you my sister, because they're gonna kill me." And what wound up happening is the king wound up taking his wife because he set a trap for his own self. He almost lost his wife and his life because he was trying to figure it out with his mind rather than relying on God. And then when he got the way, God stepped in and said, "If you don't get that man, his wife, that got killed, and everything he got." He gave him back his woman and some money. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God has promised to protect us from evil, the effects of any evil. And what should we do? Should we be believing this? Psalm 23:29, Brother Sanders quoted Psalm 91 last week. You know, if you stay there, if you stay in under the shadow of the Almighty, he'll protect us.
Yes.
All right. So here's my point. Boredom is your enemy right now.
Amen.
I don't mind.
Amen.
Boredom is your enemy. Boredom will have you on the internet looking at stuff you ain't got no business.
Sure will.
Boredom will have you up in the middle of the night scrolling through stuff that you ain't got no business looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Boredom will have you gorging yourself with food when you should be fasting.
Amen. Ooh.
Boredom will make you not open up that Bible till the next time we open up this Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll have you binge watching. Boredom is not your friend right now.
Come on.
Because somebody said it earlier, an idle mind is a devil's workshop.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Boredom is not your friend. Boredom will have you arguing with your spouse about silly stuff because you're bored. Picking with your children over silly stuff because you're bored. Boredom is not your friend. I rebuke that spirit of boredom from over your life.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
If we'll follow what God is doing, we won't get ourselves caught up in foolish stuff during this time of isolation where God is really trying to minister to some of us. But yes. God has said to me, he says, some of you are going to be supernaturally enthroned by me before this is over. He said, I'm going to install some of you in positions you felt like you weren't prepared for. I'm going to promote some of you. Some of you are going to be connected to groups that's going to endorse you, your way forward, your business forward, your sales forward. They're going to endorse you. Say, my life is changing.
My life is changing. Amen.
But he's going to enthrone some of you. He's going to install you in places. So when you get there, don't walk in fear. They knew you didn't know everything when they hired you.
Mm. Oh
my. But they hired you because they felt like you had the potential to learn.
Amen.
I don't know who I'm talking to. So you thinking that you got to know everything, don't go in there and talk to them, I'm not ready for it. No, They already know you ain't ready for it. They looking at your potential.
Hallelujah. Amen.
He's talking to me. Take the position.
Amen.
Psalms 141. Any questions or comments? Say faith over fear.
Faith over fear.
So, a couple points and then we're going to get out of here. I think my time about up anyway. Y'all let me go too fast today. I ain't have much. I had to stress this like it was Play-Doh. So you got to resist the evil pulling you. Can things in this world pull us?
Amen.
Yes.
I mean, I spent 4 months or at least three months telling us to disconnect from certain people because they're going to pull you.
Yeah.
It's going to cost you your marriage, people, if they don't pay attention. It's going to cost some people their careers. And they don't even realize that the devil is pulling them. How do you know the devil is pulling you out to salvation? Most of the time we gravitate back to things that we had in our life before we came to God, and then we start justifying it.
Mm, yeah.
But the devil be pulling us. And you have to resist these pulls by these things. You have to resist him pulling us. I mean, God has done great work in people, pushed them to do things they never thought they can do, done pushed them past the spirit of fear, and then all of a sudden the devil be trying to bring it back up on them.
Yeah.
And if you resist them, if you submit it to God, it's easy to resist the devil, and then he'll wait for the next opportunity, he'll flee. He won't waste no time messing with you. So Psalms 141, David said, I called upon the Lord. I call upon you. Hasten to me. Sound like that's urgent to me, right? So I call upon you. Come quickly to me, God. So David knows that whatever he is dealing with is spiritually stronger than him. It amazes me, the people who think they can just overpower any type of spirit to come upon them, and it ain't true. That's why you need help sometimes.
Oh,
that's
yes.
why he gives intercessors, and that's why he gives us people where we can come into prayer of agreement with. Apostle Ford. I mean, Apostle Ford, about 70 some years old. God done raised him up from a deathbed, literally a deathbed. They done called the family in dying. God give him instruction, because what had happened was his testimony was his bowels had passed through his body and they was rotten and they couldn't put him back in his body. Doctors couldn't put him back in his body. And he was dying. And they called his family in. They called his family in to watch this, talk to the family about preparing for his arrangements. Right? But God spoke to him. You better pay attention to what I'm saying. God spoke to him and he got up off his bed and God told him to start walking down the hall, up and down the hall. And then he said, God told him to go outside. And now he's in pain. He got to disconnect from machines to do this. In essence, you have to sometimes disconnect from the things of the world to do what God is telling you to do. And so God is telling him to go and run up and down the street in front of the hospital. And they talk about, Mr. Ford, you can't do this. Mr. Ford. And as Mr. Ford is running up and down the street like God spoke to him to do, his bowels are going back in his body. And now he's about 80 years old, still traveling around the world, preaching and teaching the gospel.
Amen.
All you got to do is have a word from God. And God gave ear to David's voice when he cried out to him. Is this the time for us to be crying out to God?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He says, let my prayer be set forth as incense before you. In other words, when you're battling certain evil, prayer is the only hope you got.
Oh, yeah.
Because prayer is the only thing that gives God permission to get involved in your life. And we'll sit back and see things happening in our homes, in our families, in our communities, and then nobody prays. And then we wonder why people are losing hope, because unless you give God permission to get involved, he got to stay on the sidelines, even though he's never left you nor forsaken you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But God is getting involved in some of your situations right now. Right now, he getting involved.
Amen.
And David says, the lifting up of my hands. I dare somebody just lift up your hands, just give God a praise by lifting up your hands. The lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. And David said this, watch this. He says, set a guard on my mouth.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Set a guard on my mouth. Keep watch at the doors of my lip. Why? Because fear and evil sometimes gets in our heart and we don't even know that it's there. And David know if he allowed the devil to take his words, he allowed the devil to create an atmosphere for him that he don't want to live in. If some of us would just release the word of God in our own atmosphere, the devils would have to leave. They cannot live there. The only way they live there, we got to be feeding them somehow.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on. Stop feeding them, he'll leave. He said, Brian, I'm telling you, if you'll stop feeding that spirit, right? People say, how do you break addiction? Stop feeding it. If you stop feeding it, it'll die.
Amen.
If you want it 2-3 times a day, if you got to get up and watch it every other day, if you got to eat the same thing, drink the same thing, smoke the same thing, go to the same place, you are an addict, and the only way you break the spirit behind addiction is that you have to starve it.
Amen.
If you starve it, it will die.
Amen.
And your body gonna reject it. It's gonna fight against it because you are still in the flesh, and God is trying to get you to take one step higher into the realm of the spirit. And God is breaking addictions over somebody's life right now while you're listening.
Amen. Amen. God. Hallelujah.
Amen. I'm telling you, he is. I'm telling you, he is. He says, incline my heart not to submit. He says, incline, verse number 4. He says, incline my heart not to submit in consent. To what?
Evil.
Fear gets in you because you done consented to it and you submitting to it. Sickness sometimes overtake us because we submit to it and we consent to it.
Yeah.
We give him permission. Sometimes he'll be paying us back for things that God done forgave us for, but we think we're supposed to be penalized for it, and that's what we submit to it because we done consented to it.
Yeah.
But say who the Son said free is free indeed. I'm free.
I'm free indeed.
Amen.
Occupied in deeds, wickedness among men who work iniquity. Let me not eat their dainties. Or what is he saying do? He is saying I need to focus on God. Verse number 8. He says, my eyes are towards you, O God, the Lord. In you do I trust. Yes. Say that. In you
indeed do I trust.
Say it again. In you do I trust.
Amen.
In God you gotta trust and take refuge. In refuge, we are the temple of God. When God say, "Stay out, stay in your house, and let this stuff pass over," I'm taking refuge in Him.
Yeah.
I'm not saying to go to no building. He done told me to take refuge in Him.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm the temple. You the temple.
Amen.
And if you can't live saved by yourself, you ain't saved at all.
Come on.
Keep me from the trap which they have laid and the snares of evildoers. Let the wicked fall together in their own nets. Watch this. While I pass over and escape. Tell somebody, you coming out.
You coming out.
You already out. This is your winning season. This ain't no losing season. Right? Some of you just paid attention to what's going on and what God is trying to do. I mean, in so many areas of your life, you're going to advance in this season.
Thank you.
Your family going to advance. Your children going to advance. And your career is going to advance.
Thank you.
Three things. I'm just gonna read them. I gotta go. Anybody got any questions or comments? This is my last one. Isaiah 26. Go ahead. Anybody got any questions or comments?
I got something.
Go ahead.
So just talking about disconnecting, I did exactly what you pretty much said about, you know, disconnecting from certain people.
Yeah.
And over the course of the last, I would say 2-3 months, I've, you know, just been praying to God that he will open my eyes and disconnect me from the people that I felt that was supposed to be in my circle, you know, knowingly and unknowingly type of thing. And yeah. I have to definitely speak on moving forward in the pain, because some of these people I definitely thought was for me and that was supposed to be, you know, in my life. And yeah. he's in my eyes in certain situations just to show me that they wasn't supposed to be there. And so yeah. having to move forward in a pain is definitely painful, because you're just like, no, this person wouldn't do me wrong, or no, this ain't supposed to happen, or whatever. But God reminded me, this is what you prayed for. I'm doing it. And so you will pretty much be feeding your, you know, addiction if you continue to move outside of my will and keep talking to these people, trying to bring them back, trying to fit in with them or whatever, when I've already done what you asked me to do. And that was disconnect you. So he's disconnected me. And so I had to catch myself, because it's like almost like I was feeding for those people to still be in my life, because I felt like, no, this certainly wasn't the person that you was, you know, trying to disconnect me from. And so definitely moving forward in a pain can be very painful, but it's necessary.
Amen.
Can you love something that's bad for you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. yeah.
And you love mm-hmm. a person that's bad for you?
Yes.
Oh, most definitely.
I remember in the 70s they have a song, you know good, you know good, you know good.
You know good, you know good.
You know good. For me.
Yeah.
You might be good for somebody, but you know good for me.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah.
See, now that takes some courage to be able to look at it and say, I'm not saying you ain't worth nothing. I'm saying you're no good for me.
Yeah. Mm.
Some people can eat Doritos all day and their stomach don't pop out like mine. You know, yeah. good. They show me it's good. They show it's good. They show it, but they ain't no good for me.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna
they ain't no good for you.
The rapture come back. So,
amen.
Need to be delivered. Anybody else got anything they want to add or say?
So what do you do, Pastor? So what?
Go ahead.
Okay. So what? Sorry.
I'll wait. You go ahead, sis.
I was going to say, so what do you do when it's your kids? When you feel you got to disconnect from your kids?
Mm. Well, that's tricky, because that can mean so much. If they five, that's child abuse.
Right. They ain't five though.
if they 50, it's a relief.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, my so what do I do?
Let me help you. But I'll see. I was joking. In some cases, it's not about, you can't really disconnect from your child.
Mm-hmm.
But there's certain areas that you may have to wean them to strengthen them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not a lady. And I don't have man boobs, but it would look ridiculous for a 30-year-old man to be on his mom's breast.
Right.
At some point, she has to wean him. Or even, let's just say, 6 years old, 5 years old, 7 years old. That's ridiculous. I don't care what nobody says. So at some point, you have to figure out the areas that are hurting them.
You feel the pain,
but you know long-term it's hurting them. You can't disconnect from your child, but you should wean them to strengthen them. If they never come off breast mist, they'll never go to whole milk. If they don't get the whole milk, they'll never try whole food. In essence, as they start growing, now this creates malnutrition problem for them when you could have been weaning them the whole time. Now, I can't tell you where to start. I will tell you that a lot of times, depending on how severe it is, if you cut somebody off cold turkey, you can wind up doing more damage than if you just wing them.
Mm-hmm.
Some type of dependencies, when a person is really dependent on something, you just can't cut them straight off. You have to start winging them off. You have to start disciplining them. And that's, and the whole point of the winging, if this is making any spiritual sense, and I know that it is, the whole point of winging them off of things, it is because you're getting them and encouraging them and strengthening them to try other things that's going to help them.
Hmm.
That's the point. But you can't just, you know, cut, unless they're trying to burn the house down, you know, some things you just gotta, you know, you gotta use common sense, logic, and the Holy Ghost when you're dealing like with your family.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That make any sense? I hope it do.
It do. And I have to pray much because I know that's what the devil using with me now. You know, my kids. You know, it's something. I can been to pray, and then next thing you know, all matters of hell with the kids done broke loose. Like,
so you know, the difference between when God is using you to sustain a person in comparison to when you take it over on your own and now you're in enabling them?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Huge differences. When a person, when God is using you, he used a woman with the Shunammite woman to sustain Elisha, not enable him. Because that was a season he was there, a couple of days he was there, and then he was strong enough to move on his own. Mm-hmm. So you got to be able to look at your own scenario and say, am I sustaining them for a month, 2 months, or am I enabling them? When you're enabling them, they land on your couch eating your food and they ain't trying to find a job. Mm-hmm. If they out looking for a job and they hustling and they going to college and they doing the right things and they ain't got no money, but they making sure the house clean or the food is cooked and the clothes is watching while they're going out and looking for jobs and doing all these other things, you may be sustaining them. But if they're not working on better for themselves, then you are enabler, and now you got to cut that off.
Thank you.
Big difference. Any questions or comments?
Hey, see, Pastor, I do. It's been bothering me. So how do you deal with, it's about family. You know, I changed my life. I gave my life to the Lord a few weeks ago. But my family still, they say, hey, stop playing with the Lord. They keep reminding me of the old me, who I was. And so whenever I bring up, you know, anything religious or anything about Jesus, they just kind of like push it to the side. How do I deal with that?
Have you ever heard of Dr. Tony Evans? Have you ever heard of Dr. Tony Evans?
I have.
Yeah. Tony Evans was one of the first preachers. I had a series of his. I wish I could find it because I would preach it. But I had a series from his in 1992, cassette tapes, where he was preaching on the seven churches of Asia in Revelations. And as I was listening to that, I became a big fan of his. And I remember when one of the sermons he talked about, this is 30 years ago, he talked about how his father was a dockman. He worked on the dock, fish, whatever. I don't know what you really call it. But needless to say, he didn't want to hear nothing about no Jesus. His father didn't. And his mother, long story short, the father winds up giving his life to Christ after a long period of time, but his wife wasn't saved. And his wife started making fun of him and his walk with God. But she's not saved either. She's making fun of him. She's berating him. He said that it got so bad that there was no intimacy. He was sleeping downstairs on the couch, and the wife was sleeping upstairs. This is his testimony. In the bedroom, there was nothing going on. It was almost like the cooking stopped, and it was more so an antagonistic spirit trying to provoke him back to his old ways. He said, but his father was a man of prayer, and he was really converted. And he would never lash out at her. He would just keep on loving her, kept bringing the money home just like he always did. And he said one night, he said it was about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. He said my mother came downstairs to where his father was at. And she apologized for berating him and antagonizing him and asked her husband to lead her to Christ. True story. The point being is that you don't never know if our conversion is real, if we can live it out. He says you draw people through loving kindness. Even when they don't believe in your conversion, they cannot deny the God of love lives in me, and they'll eventually respond to that. Just keep on loving them, keep on living it, and keep on looking for God to touch their heart. And one night you'll hear somebody shaking you talking about, I want to give my life to Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Well, I got something to say as far as what you was talking about earlier, as far as the testimony. I mean, God blessed me with an opportunity of employment through Brother EJ, so I'm very grateful for that.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Brother, can y'all hear me?
Can you hear me there?
Yeah, I can hear you.
That's three. I got you talk three times. Somebody else talking. Amen. Who was that? Go ahead.
This is Abraham.
Okay, go ahead, bro. How you doing?
I'm good in yourself. Great word today, Pastor, and just something for us, for my family, a testimony. This time away from work really showed us how much emphasis we had on work, like how big of a priority the military was to us. And man, like having this time at home, it's been almost like a honeymoon phase all over again. Like we can focus on us, you know what I'm saying? And we haven't had time to pray with the kids more, you know what I'm saying? And being able to like just spend time with the kids, it's almost been like a breath of fresh air, honestly. And God has definitely been dealing with us how the same emphasis that we have with our jobs, we need to have more, you know what I'm saying, for him and family. But they kind of just shift everyone's focus in our household as far as being home and just being on a computer doing telework, which is really little of nothing. It's been a breath of fresh air and a rest season for my family. So I really appreciate the prayer and support, Pastor, for that. I just wanted to share that with everybody.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? And for all you married people, you know, I know y'all got a lot of time together. We're going to build this church one baby at a time.
No, sir.
Hey, we done, Pastor. That's five. We done. That's it.
Around January, the church going to be full.
That's a number of grace right there. Number five. Somebody say five. Say it with me. Five. Grace.
Isaiah 26.
I got five on it.
Isaiah 26:3.
Oh, man.
He says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. Why? Because he's simply just trusting God. All I'm saying in a nutshell is this. If we just trust God in this hour, no matter how bleak it looks, it's working for your good. We gotta just trust that. As Christians, we got to just believe that. We got to hold on to that. Not let it go no matter what's going on. You can't be defeated as long as we're connected to God. Number two, you got to trust God to protect you from all the evil going on around you. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but he says it won't come nigh unto you. It won't come nigh unto you. Covenant is powerful. You know, I said this before, a lot of times I use it from the standpoint of a family. If you find a kid that rejects the covering of his parent, most of the time they absorb a lot of demonic attacks that they don't really even have to go through, but their lack of willingness to submission opens that door. You know, if that wife slides up under her husband, and not that she's not going to go through, but he is the covering, he is supposed to be interceding and praying for her. He's supposed to absorb attacks that she shouldn't even have to feel all the time. So brothers got to be in their place. If we all are aligned up under God, I guarantee you he'll absorb a lot of attacks for us that we don't even have to go through nor deal with. And so you got to rely on him as your protector. You got to rely on him that he's a healer, that he's a provider. And you have to know that faith must be exercised over all fear right now. Don't give the devil no legs in this hour. Don't give him no legs. If you don't give him no legs or opportunities, you'll be shocked. You'll be shocked at the things that just automatically start going away from your life, from your house, from your marriage, from your ministry. They just gone. Amen. Anybody Amen. Got any questions or comments? Who on that? Hey, Michelle.
I got something, Pastor. As this whole thing kind of got started, I was, you know, I would go in the stores and just start laughing, you know, because I think that's kind of my, you know, the more and more I look at it, it's just my faith taking over. Like, where are people faith at? you know, because a lot of them are Christians too. You see, you know, that's going in there buying up stuff. And it's just not the way people look at it. It's just so wrong. So faith over fear, definitely the people that are fearful, they'll go up and buy everything. For us, we always buy in bulk anyway. So it wasn't like it was a huge strain. You know, so if you didn't have it, you know, if you want week, that's fine. You know, you should continue to live that way. Especially if that's where your faith is, you know. So that's just kind of my thing. I just look at, you know, just laughing and just seeing, you know, people, you know, just like really going overboard. And some people are actually trying to take the stuff back and they're telling them no. And first of all, you should have stood on your faith in the beginning. You wouldn't be in that position, you know. God is good. Amen.
I just want to encourage y'all to stay in faith. I'm telling you, that is prayer and faith is going to be your greatest weapons in this hour. I'm telling you, hey, Sister Brooks, it's your greatest weapon in this hour. And we're going to be here with you. You got enough people that's loving up on you and praying for you that we don't have to come unglued. You hear the testimonies of things that God is doing in the lives of people in this body. Stay under covenant. Stay connected with covenant. And then watch what God continue to do in your life. Covenant is powerful to God. I'm going to pray, but I want Vengeance Dugan, I want you to pray. Sister Avery, I want you to pray. Prophet Avance, I want you to pray. Co-Pastor Wilson, I want you to pray. And then I'm going to close it out in that order. So if you remember what, I don't remember all the names I call up, but I think I said Vengeance Dugan first. Who did I say second?
Sister Avery.
Then I said Prophetess. And then co-pastor, and then I'll close it out.
Anybody, can I ask a question?
Yes, yeah, ma'am.
If someone was in this meeting here and they wanted to be saved or they wanted to join the church, how would they go about doing that?
Wave their hand and just say it, you know. Okay. And I'll just say that, you know, because that's a fantastic thing that you just brought to our attention. If you're not saved, it's funny that she even brought that up, because I was really going to really emphasize being born again today. That's really what I was going to teach about, first of all, that we in a season now where people can't think that they saved. You got to know that you saved. You got to know that just because you grew up in church, that does not make you have a relationship with God. But a lot of things could be automatically solved, because 1 John 5 talks about this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Your faith in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is that very thing that positioned us to start winning. If you've never given your heart to Christ, if you know it, you know, doesn't matter if you grew up in the Sunshine Band and sung poems in church, it don't make no difference. If you haven't made a commitment to God with your heart and your life, you know, I encourage you to go now. You know, the Bible makes it very plain that the life is like a vapor. It's going tomorrow. One young lady talked about her brother went in and died the exact same day, right? He was healthy. He was a strong, healthy guy. So I encourage everybody listening to me, if you want to be born again, just kind of hit your button on there. Let us know who you are. We're going to lead you in the prayer of salvation. And then this is going to be the best day of the rest of your life. It's going to be the best day of the rest of your life. God is available. He is willing. Nothing that we have done could ever separate us from the love of God. Nothing. And don't nobody ever think that. Don't let nobody tell you that, because it's not true. Is there anybody that would like to give your heart to the Lord? Just hit the button.